For generations, the story of warfare has been written by those with the faster jet, the stealthier submarine, or the more powerful bomb. It's always been a race for a tangible, physical advantage.
But what if the next great arms race isn't about weapons at all? What if it's about time itself?
Exactly. I've spent years studying historical turning points, those moments where one single invention changes everything. And looking into this, I get that same feeling.
It feels like we are standing right on the edge of one of those shifts, and most of the world doesn't even see it coming.
Yeah, and for me, it's the sheer scale of it that's, well, mind-bending. I mean, my background is more in the tech itself, and we're talking about devices, clocks, with a precision that makes you question your own reality. Mm-hmm. A clock that wouldn't lose a single second over the entire age of the universe. Taking that concept and applying it to the chaos of a battlefield it's almost science fiction.
It really is, and it begs the question that we're going to tackle today. What happens when the country that can most accurately measure a nanosecond holds the ultimate strategic advantage?
That is the question. It's not just about knowing what time it is. It's about navigation without GPS, communication that can't be jammed, and sensors that can detect the undetectable. It's a complete paradigm shift.
So today we're going to pull back the curtain. We're going to explore the strange, fascinating world of quantum mechanics and its most precise creation. Welcome to The Time Ticker, decoding the role of quantum timing in modern warfare.
We're going to talk to the experts, break down the technology, and explore what this quantum leap could mean for global security. Stick with us, because this is a story that is unfolding in real time, one quintillionth of a second at a time.
So let's start with the basics, because when you say a clock that won't lose a second over the age of the universe, my brain, it just short circuits. How is that even possible? What are we actually talking about when we say quantum clock?
Right, it sounds like something out of a movie, but think of it this way. Every clock you've ever known, from a grandfather clock to your digital watch, relies on something that oscillates, that repeats an action at a regular interval. A pendulum swinging, a quartz crystal vibrating.
That a tick-tock?
A tick-tock, exactly. Well, an atomic clock does the same thing, but its pendulum is the natural, incredibly consistent vibration or transition of an electron in an atom.
Cesium atoms, for example, which are already mind-bogglingly accurate. I mean, that's what runs our current GPS system, right?
It is, but the quantum clocks we're talking about now are a whole other level. They're called optical clocks. Instead of using microwaves to measure that atomic tick-tock, they use laser light, which has a much, much higher frequency.
So it's like slicing time into finer and finer pieces?
That's a perfect way to put it. You're dividing each second into quadrillions of ticks instead of billions. And the real breakthrough, the quantum logic part, is how they do it. They use one type of ions, like an aluminum ion, as the clock, and a different ion to read the time off of it without disturbing it.
Oh, wow. So the act of measuring doesn't mess up the measurement itself. That's always the problem in quantum mechanics, isn't it?
That's the ghost in the machine. And they've found a way to work around it. It creates this almost perfectly pure, undisturbed tick. And that purity, that's where the strategic advantage comes in.
Okay, so connect the dots for me. We have this impossibly precise clock. How does that translate from a lab in Boulder, Colorado, to, say, a submarine moving silently through the deep ocean?
That's the key. Navigation. Right now, that submarine relies almost entirely on the global positioning system -GPS. It needs to get a signal from satellites orbiting the Earth to know precisely where it is.
And those signals can be fragile.
Worse than fragile. They can be jammed, they can be spoofed, meaning an enemy can feed you false location data. Or, in a full-blown conflict, the satellites themselves can just be shot down. Suddenly, your multi-billion-dollar submarine is effectively blind and lost.
A GPS-denied environment, as they call it. Hmm. Oh.
There it is. But what if that submarine had its own perfect clock? And what if a carrier group 1,000 miles away had another perfectly synchronized to it? By measuring the minuscule differences in the time it takes for signals to travel between them, they can calculate their positions relative to each other with insane precision, without ever needing a signal from space.
They become their own self-contained GPS network.
They become unjammable. They can operate in total radio silence, in the deepest ocean or the most remote territory, and still know exactly where they are and where their assets are, down to the centimeter.
But wait a second. The image I have of these quantum clocks is a room full of lasers, vacuum chambers, and scientists in lab coats.
They seem delicate. Can you really take something that relies on a single trapped ion and bolt it to the bulkhead of a ship that's being tossed around by 20-foot waves?
That is the engineering grand challenge of our time. You're right, the most accurate clocks are still massive university lab-sized contractions. But the progress in miniaturization is staggering. We're already seeing portable atomic clocks the size of a Rubik's Cube. The race isn't just to build the most precise clock, it's to build one that's precise enough and tough enough to survive the battlefield. Whoever gets there first doesn't just get a better clock. They get a fundamental advantage in how they can move, communicate, and see.
And when you say see, that's the word that hangs in the air for me. It's one thing to navigate to know where you are, but seeing feels different. Are you telling me these clocks double as some kind of all-seeing eye?
I am, and it's not a metaphor. This is where it gets really strange. These clocks are so exquisitely sensitive to reality, to the very fabric of space-time, that their environment affects them, and we can measure that effect.
What kind of effect? What are you talking about?
Gravity. Einstein's theory of relativity tells us that time actually flows at different rates, depending on the strength of a gravitational field. The difference is, it's almost nothing. Infinitesimal. But these clocks can measure it.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me if I put one of these on the floor and one on the table, the one on the floor will tick slower because it's slightly closer to the Earth's center?
By the tiniest, tiniest fraction of a second. But yes. Now, scale that up. Imagine you have a network of these clocks spread across a battlefield, all perfectly synchronized, and a massive, dense object moves through that area, say, an underground bunker, or more to the point, an enemy submarine moving silently deep beneath the ocean.
That submarine. Showing its mass, it would create its own tiny gravitational distortion.
A tiny ripple in space-time. And the clock nearest to it would tick just a shade differently from all the others. It wouldn't be a big, loud ping like sonar. It would be a subtle, passive whisper that only this network could hear.
Oh my God, so you're not actively searching for anything. You're just listening. You're listening to the rhythm of the universe. And if something is out of place, you know it's there. There's no way to hide from that.
How do you hide from your own gravity? And it's not just gravity. These quantum states are also incredibly sensitive to magnetic fields. You could potentially detect the faint magnetic anomaly of a stealth fighter's engine from miles away. It turns the entire idea of stealth on its head.
So the race to be invisible, to have a low radar cross-section, to be thermally quiet, that entire paradigm becomes maybe not obsolete, but incomplete. Because you're leaking information just by existing.
You're leaking your physical presence into the environment, and for the first time, we're building instruments sensitive enough to read it. It's a shift from active sensing, sending out a signal and waiting for the echo, to something completely passive. It's the difference between shouting in a dark cave to find the walls and just being able to see in the dark.
But if one side develops this, what does that even look like? A commander has a map that doesn't just show their own forces, but a live, shimmering heat map of
gravitational and magnetic fields, revealing enemy movements in real time.
Mm.
That's the vision. But it also creates an entirely new problem, doesn't it? The sheer volume of data. We're talking about sensors that are taking measurements quadrillions of times a second. No human, no classical computer can make sense of that fire hose information. You'd just be drowned in noise.
So you've created a sensor that's too good. You have the perfect eye, but no brain to interpret what it's seeing.
Which leads you right down the next rabbit hole. To process quantum level data, and you're probably going to need a quantum level computer. One technology necessitates the other. They're two sides of the same coin.
And that is a terrifying feedback loop. So it's not just one arms race for the perfect sensor. It's a second parallel arms race for a computer that can even comprehend what the sensor is telling you. You can't have one without the other.
It's a complete technological ecosystem. And whoever builds that integrated system first, the sensor, the processor, the network, they're not just a step ahead. They're operating in a different reality.
It's staggering to think about where this conversation has gone. We started with the idea of a better clock, something that sounds almost quaint. And we've ended up discussing passive detection of hidden objects through their gravitational signature. It feels like we've covered a century of technological evolution in the last hour.
Yeah, and for me, the thing I keep coming back to is the the sheer inescapability of it, the idea that you can't hide from your own physical presence in the universe. All our sophisticated efforts at stealth are, in the end, just clever ways of tricking older forms of detection. But this reads the fundamental rules. There's no tricking gravity.
See, and my mind goes to a different place. Not the elegance, but the instability. What happens the day one nation achieves this? Suddenly, their adversary's entire fleet of stealth bombers and silent submarines are visible. They're just targets on a map. Does that create transparency and peace, or does it create the most dangerous imbalance of power the world has ever seen?
That is the ultimate paradox of this technology, isn't it? It's a system of total surveillance that could, in theory, make surprise attacks impossible and thus stabilize the world. Or it could give one side such an overwhelming advantage that the temptation to use it to eliminate a threat before it can ever respond becomes, well, irresistible.
A first-strike capability based not on speed but on omniscience. It's a chilling thought. It really reframes the whole nature of deterrence.
It does, and it leaves me with one final nagging question. We've spent all this time talking about the military applications because that's where the funding and the urgency are. But a clock that can measure gravity by the centimeter, what does that do for earthquake prediction, for mapping underground water reserves or discovering mineral deposits? This technology is going to change the civilian world in ways we can't even imagine yet.
That's a good point. The initial breakthrough might be driven by conflict, but the long-term impact could be something else entirely. It's a powerful reminder that the tool itself isn't good or evil, it's the intent we bring to it.
Precisely. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. We've journeyed from the quantum realm to the edge of global strategy, all on the tick of a new kind of clock.
It has been a mind-bending journey. Thank you for helping us navigate it. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on the Time Ticker.
This is a story that is far from over. Keep watching and keep listening. Thanks for tuning in.